A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even like pap smears. I'm like, did I just call it schmear?
You did just call it a schmear. Are we recording?
I just called it a schmear. I've got a lot of people do that.
Hello, babies. Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
If you can't tell the difference between our voices, Lisa's the one who said pap schmear.
I said it on accident, but I feel like you'd say it on purpose.
I don't know if I would.
No?
No.
It's funny. anyways, those are uncomfortable.
Yeah. We it's were just like, talking woo! About IUDs. I was talking about mine.
Yeah.
Let me know if you guys have any questions about it. No, please don't. I can't answer your individual questions about it.
Just go on Reddit.
I recommend it.
Don't read all the scary stories.
Yeah. I mean, what's terrible is like, I've never gone online to be like, I love my IUD.
Yeah.
People go online to tell the horror stories, but most people are pretty happy with them. But yeah. It's tight to not bleed anymore.
Yeah, bleeding sucks.
I haven't bought tampons in 5 years, basically.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's kind of tight. So anyway.
I wear pads like a teenager.
Really?
Like a preteen. Yes.
Oh man. I love that Jackie Cation joke where she says like, here's something I would have liked to have been told as a teenager. Hey, that's an applicator.
Wait, I don't get it.
Because no one taught her how to put in a tampon. And she just like put the whole thing in there.
I tried the ones without applicators first and that didn't go very well.
Oh yeah, you can't start with those.
It was like, it was so dry. Oh God.
Anyway, welcome to Baby Geniuses.
Welcome to Period Talk.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. We haven't talked in a while. I feel like so much has happened and I'm like, will it be topical at all to talk about the Oscars? Probably not.
Oh, the Oscars.
I put all my hot takes on Twitter.
I screamed when Olivia won. I was really happy.
Yeah, that was one of the best. I mean, I was torn because I wanted my sister's movie to win.
But, oh, right. Yeah.
But Olivia, I love Olivia Colman. I still haven't seen that movie, but that was...
Oh my God, it's so good.
I know, I have to see it.
It should have gotten more awards, but I also just... one of my friends made the observation that it's almost more rewarding to just imagine all the old Oscars voters watching it because it's so gay and like, so violent. And there's so much slapping. And
I think a lot of the old Oscars voters just don't watch a lot of the movies.
Probably not.
But that was one of the best acceptance speeches I've ever seen.
Oh, it's so delightful.
It's really good.
What a wonderful woman. And Richard E. Grant was so happy to be there.
And to meet Barbara Streisand in person.
Yes. Yeah,
that was great. I just got a text from my dad where he was like, just a heads up, everyone. Mom's on Instagram and she's messaging Richard E. Grant.
Oh my God, she's DMing him?
I don't know if she's DMing him or just like leaving comments on his page.
I want to see this.
I know.
What is she? Oh my God.
My parents are like... consider themselves to be on first name basis with him.
Yeah.
It's very funny. We have other more pressing things to talk about, which
yes, I basically have this wonderful gift for you where I watched both of the things you recommended.
Yes.
I watched Instant Hotel and I watched the first episode of Outlander last night.
Oh my God. You watched it last night?
Yes.
What did you think?
I thought it was delightful and very, very sexual, which I enjoyed. And
yes.
Everyone in it is hot.
Everyone in it's super hot.
And there's horses. So of course I loved it. But I thought it was funny. Like it opens with this woman and her husband who are reconnecting after like being apart for 5 years during the war. Mm-hmm. And she kind of keeps talking about how they're not like really reconnecting the way she'd hoped and things aren't kind of picking up where they left off. But then like they keep fucking and like 18 minutes in, he's eating her pussy in like an archaeological site. And yes. I'm like, it seems like you guys are getting along. Yeah. Okay.
And she initiates that by being like, do you want to give me a bath?
Yeah.
And like opening her legs.
Yeah.
Which I think is amazing.
And they seem to like have a sexy banter. I'm like, I don't understand what the problem is. Like it, they kind of hint at like, okay, they're having sex instead of having a conversation, but like,
and
I
that
don't know.
Like maybe there was something that happened, like maybe they cheated on each other during the war.
Yeah.
Like, something like that.
But then he's like, I don't care if you did, like, it's fine. I still love you. I'm like, he seems great.
Yeah.
So far. I mean, maybe I need to watch more episodes.
I don't think that guy like ever does anything wrong, really. But yeah. Like, I wonder if he did in the books and they just didn't put it in the show.
I wonder. He seems great in it.
Yeah. But the Scottish guy is hotter than him. They're both pretty hot.
He's hot. I kind of like the husband.
Really?
Yeah. I think a Scottish guy is more like conventionally attractive, I guess.
Yeah. The Scottish guy's like romance novel cover.
Yeah. He's got more of a strong jaw.
But he's like, so dirty.
Yeah.
That's the thing about him that's slightly like, less conventional is like the thing they never talk about is like it must smell so bad.
Yeah.
Everything must smell so bad.
So much manure. Yeah. But I like the husband. He has that like kind of uptight British thing going on.
Do you think you'll keep watching it?
Yeah, it seems like a fun thing to watch while drawing.
Yeah.
And painting and whatnot. Like, I can kind of just keep up with it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see how far I get.
See how far you get. It gets pretty dark by the end of the first season.
Oh, really?
Like, the end of the first season's kind of, like, gnarly. I was kind of watching through my fingers, but...
There were some gory parts.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yikes.
There's... It turns... Have you... Rob's nodding like he's seen it. Yeah. It's beyond gore. It's, like, ooh, weird psycho trauma.
Oh, okay. That's kind of
nutty. Yeah. It's weird. I'm so glad you watched it.
Instant Hotel, I made it as far as Leroy's house, and then I had to stop because I just got stressed out. I got so stressed out.
So you didn't start the second group yet?
No. I don't know if I can. I can.
Oh, my God, Lisa. You have to.
I don't know if I can handle it. It stresses me out so bad because it bothers me that, like, I want the hotels to be judged on their merits alone. Like, I'm very, like...
This is not a show for that.
No, I like people to play by the rules, and it really bothers me how much human nature is getting in the way, and people are just...
It's so cutthroat,
and like sometimes some couples are totally playing by the rules. Like that first couple is so sweet, and they're just like, yeah, we're not gonna grade it based on how much we hate the person. Like, we're gonna grade it based on how good of a hotel it is. It's like, yeah. Yes, that's the game. But then fucking like Babe
and Bondi are just like vindictive.
They're so
evil.
Vindictive, like downrating the whole group for not cleaning well enough was so fucked up. For not drinking
a margarita.
Yeah, that was...
I mean, spoiler alert, guys, but if you're going to watch this, we've got a little bit of cooking going on in the background for people who like ASMR.
Can we record over this? I mean...
It sounds okay.
Does it sound okay?
All right.
I didn't know it was going to be that loud.
Yeah, I mean, I just, it's so infuriating. And I feel bad for Bondi because even though she's the biggest baby brat, it's like, she reminds me of the baby in Spirited Away, that Miyazaki movie, where she's just like a big baby raised by a witch. And she's like, never learned to walk on her own feet or like do anything for herself.
She's clearly got a bad influence working with her.
Yeah, she's raised by like this narcissist.
Yeah. A true narcissist. I will say, if you hated Babe and Bondi, and spoiler alert to everyone, if you watch to the end of the season, you will be satisfied.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You will find satisfaction.
Oh, God. Now I have to watch it. Why are you making me watch this trash? It's such trash.
I'm so sorry.
The episodes are so much longer than they need to be, too. Like,
they're so much longer than they need to be.
You get so sick of the houses by the end of each episode. You're like, yes, I've seen every fucking corner of this, like, 50s throwback diner.
And I've heard every single testimonial about
twice
the thing that is wrong with the house.
It's really, I hate that reality show style.
Yeah, I do too. Which, by the way, have you watched Dating Around?
No.
It's really weird because it's a reality dating show with no confessionals.
Oh.
And no voiceover narration of any kind.
How does that even work?
And it's edited together in this really fluid way where there's not even like a lot of lower chyrons or anything. It's like it'll be like this sort of one person goes on a date with five different people and they make them wear the same outfit on every one of the dates so that they can cut the conversations together where it'll be like the date will ask a question, the dude will answer, and then it'll cut to a different one of his dates responding to what he said. And it kind of like goes like that. And it's really fascinating.
Is that on Netflix?
That's on Netflix too.
Cool.
I watched all this shit because I was on that Netflix podcast.
Oh.
Our friends Nick Turner and Will Miles have a podcast called recently added, where they talk about what's new on Netflix that week. And I went on it and I watched Dating Around for that. And it was... And Nick's the one who recommended Instant Hotel to me.
That sounds like a pretty great podcast. Yeah. Do they try to watch bad stuff or is it...
They just watch what's new that week.
What's new, yeah.
So like... They'll try and watch a little bit of everything. That's
how do they
out
even keep up? There's so much stuff.
Yeah, I think there's like 8 new things. I think they narrow it down a little bit based on what they're interested in. But like there were like 8 things when I did it. And I was like, I'm not going to watch more than one episode of Umbrella Academy. I couldn't. I don't like it
based on the title alone. I don't know anything about it, but it just Umbrella Academy. Are you kidding? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Am I being offensive? Is it like,
no, you're not. It's a superhero, like X-Men ripoff kind of apologies to Umbrella Academy fans out there. I didn't like it.
Someone tweeted at me that I look exactly like an actress on it. And I looked her up and she's just blonde. Like there's nothing else in common. She's just a white lady.
Really?
Yeah. But thank you. wait, but back to Instant Hotel. So Leroy, you're a fan of Leroy.
I am a fan of Leroy.
By
the end of his episode, I was like, okay, I'm starting to get why people don't like him.
Yeah, he's bad. I don't
like him.
His
house was bad.
His house was bad and he has no grace whatsoever. Like,
no.
He thinks he's better than everyone, but if you are that way, you have to hide it. Like, you can't just...
I just didn't understand why he was... It's not that I'm, like, the biggest fan of Leroy. It's that everyone hated him instead of Babe and Bondi, and Babe and Bondi were way more maniacal in my mind. And
I think it's the way Leroy it was edited a little bit. Like, at least Babe and Bondi are, like, kind of fun, and their house was kind of fun.
I don't know. I mean, I think it was, like... Leroy's house was last. So by the time we got there, I was like, oh, like I really wanted that house to be good. And
we had
such
high expectations and it was the worst.
It was like a punchline.
I love how
there are so many spoilers for Instant Hotel. But also if you I don't know.
I love how everyone downrated that one couple because they were rich. Like,
yeah,
they were just
that was crazy.
Everyone was just like, okay, tall poppy syndrome. Like, fuck you. You're rich. Your parents paid for this place.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not even part of the rating system.
Yeah. Just... And also, like, was there some sort of premise that these were all scrappy up and comers? Like, no. It's people renting Airbnbs. They all have more money than they should. If they own property.
Yeah, like, but some are scrappier than others.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Yeah, but it was funny. It was just like the system is leveling itself out. The balance in the universe has been restored.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
You guys just need to watch this show so you understand
what we're talking about. I'm like, what else can we talk about that's more accessible
I know,
to everyone?
Sorry.
I don't know. Oh my God, I saw Jay-Z at a restaurant.
What?
That's not relatable either, but it's information I think everyone needs to know.
Was his wife there? Just kidding.
No, he was.
I would never call her his wife.
Also, I would have started the sentence, I saw Beyonce at a restaurant.
I know.
And I guess Jay-Z was there also.
I know.
No, he was with Chris Martin.
I saw Blue Ivy's dad. Chris Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They are friends.
Yeah. And it was at a vegan restaurant.
Just the two of them?
Yeah.
Daddy's night out?
Daddy's night out.
What restaurant?
I respect celebrity privacy, so I'm not going to say.
Wow. You're just respecting your own.
No. Was it like a nice vegan? It was at Crossroads Kitchen.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is like.
Your favorite.
My favorite restaurant. And my parents were with me. So it was like a very exciting LA, although neither of them saw or recognized Jay-Z, but my dad recognized Chris Martin.
That's very funny.
My mom didn't get to see either of them. Aww. And she was very upset, but it was like, we couldn't stop and say anything because we were walking past them on our way out.
Did your dad say anything or like, did he embarrass you or?
No. Like I was like,
himself.
And then we got outside.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Wow. How'd he look?
They both looked great. They looked happy, healthy.
Yeah.
That restaurant is like, it's like a very splurgy place. We had a gift certificate.
Yeah.
And it was like, my parents were in town. My mom's birthday's coming up. There are a bunch of reasons why we went.
Yeah.
But, every time, most of the times I've gone there, I've seen some celebrity or something.
Yeah.
I've seen Tobey Maguire there.
Oh.
I saw Bob Saget and Seth Green eating together there.
Wow. very good.
Yeah. It's a real hub for dude celebrities. Like, it's weird that I've never seen any female celebrities there.
Yeah. Huh.
What up with that?
Have you been to Elf Cafe?
I have.
That place is really good.
That place is good. I love restaurants. What else do we want to talk about? I went to the WGA Awards. Did we record our last episode before I did that, I guess?
I think so.
Yeah, it feels like it was so long ago. I won a WGA Award.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
For Barry.
Yeah, for Best New Series. That was really fun. It wasn't televised, so you didn't miss anything you should have seen. I don't really have much to say about it, I guess.
Yeah.
They took my picture.
That's fun.
Yeah.
You didn't wear anything too silly this time.
No.
You just dressed pretty.
I think I'm saving my red carpet gags for the Emmys.
Yeah, that's good. That's smart.
Yeah, I also wanted to recommend, it's so weird. So I've been taking a break from stand-up. I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but I think as a result, I'm just consuming way more media instead of performing. And yeah, I'm like,
that's good. You're like in sponge mode.
Yeah. I am in sponge mode. Yeah.
I am too. Sponge mode squaremly.
But I listened to this podcast called The Dream. Have you listened to this?
Oh, Jane Marie.
Jane Marie's podcast. Have you listened to it?
It's on my list. I really want to listen to it.
Okay. I listened to all of it in like 2 days.
It's about like MLMs.
It's about, yeah, multi-level marketing.
Yeah.
Like pyramid schemes, basically.
Oh, I love that
and
shit.
It's so fascinating because it digs deep, not into like how they function and like sort of the like psychology behind what gets people involved, what keeps them involved, what keeps them from speaking out after they've lost money.
Mm-hmm.
But it also talks about why they're legal.
Yeah.
Which is a very corrupt and complicated reason.
Like, they should not
they
be.
They should all be illegal.
They're
and the reason
so
that they aren't
predatory.
Is really, really fucked up.
Oh.
And they also talk about how it's like, it's so common for people to get involved with them. And it's so uncommon for people to like get out in a reasonable amount of time and to talk about losing money because they make people feel like they've failed if they don't make money doing it, even though it's a pyramid scheme and it's designed to make most people who are involved lose money.
Yeah.
It's so fucking crazy.
It's like gambling. Like it's like slot machines or something. Yeah. Like it's like designed to
it's
make you
designed
fail.
To, yeah. To centralize money.
Yeah. Ooh, I really want to listen to that. How many episodes are there?
I think there's like 11 or something. Mm-hmm. But they're not even like an hour long and it goes really fast and it's like you'll listen to the whole thing. And I've been recommending it in part because it made me insane because it was like it made me so furious. In part because I think if you like know someone who's involved in multi-level marketing, which like so many people are.
Yeah.
Like it's really hard to like admit that that's something that you've done or
yeah.
that like you're involved in, but the like, and like, it's, I think it's kind of pointless to like confront people about it or anything like that, but like everyone should listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So that they can just recommend it to people who are involved if they
yeah.
know them so that they can like process what it actually is. Cause I think there's a lot of denial about.
Yeah.
About it.
I know someone from high school who got really into that stuff and she makes a lot of YouTube videos about how she made such and such amount of money before she got out of bed that morning. And, you know, that's like the language of everything. And I'm
yeah.
like, did you really? And like, at whose expense is this if you did? And like, what are you doing?
Basically, multi-level marketing is like any sort of direct sales company, like Amway, I think, is the biggest, most famous one. But then there's also like LuLaRoe leggings and like
yeah.
Herbalife. And like there's hundreds of them. And the way they all function is they get you to sell their product to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But where they really make their money is like you leverage your personal relationships to get other people to start selling it. And in order to meet your like quotas and incentives, most people end up buying the product themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wholesale. You're not paying wholesale prices for them. You're spending a ton of money.
And it's shitty product too.
And it's shitty product.
For
and
the most part.
Like even if it is a good product, the numbers basically just show that like 99% of people lose money on doing it. And they sell it to you like it's this sort of way to like make a little extra money or like financial independence. But what ends up happening is you burn all your bridges and you ruin your life. It's like,
and it sucks because the kind of person who's most likely to do this is someone who really needs that extra money, like a working mother, or like, you know, it's really predatory.
It's really, really predatory. And like,
God, I got to listen to this. Yeah. I really love Jane Marie. She's always doing something interesting.
Yeah, it's really well done. And she's from like Michigan, which is where like a few of them were, like Amway started, and like everyone from her childhood has been like involved. And it's really fascinating. Anyway, that's my big recommendation right now.
Cool.
I don't know what else is going on in my life.
Should we do Chunch Chat?
I guess we should do Chunch Chat. It's time for Chunch Chat, a regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunch.
Ben Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about Chunch. Ben Chunch. There's no new Ben Chunch news, but Martha Stewart is starting to sell CBD products.
What?
Yeah.
Is it in conjunction with Snoop Dogg?
No, but I think he did introduce her to Canopy Growth, which is the company in Canada that she's partnered up with.
Oh.
So she's not doing it with Snoop, but he's done stuff with them before. So Canopy Growth Corporation's Canada-based cannabis company. It's a lot of cans. And she's going to just sort of develop a line of products that are both for people and for pets.
Oh, my God.
And this might help answer the question of whether or not Martha likes to get high. I mean, I'm pretty sure she does. I mean, she's also just smart because CBD is huge right now.
Yeah.
She's such a businesswoman. She really knows her stuff. I want to try her products. I'm curious what they'll be like.
Do you think she's going to give them to Ben Chunch?
I'm curious. Like, maybe he doesn't need them. He seems pretty chill. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm like, can you give CBD stuff to horses? Probably.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? I mean,
it seems like you can give them things that you give other animals because their bodies are so much bigger.
Yeah. I mean, people like literally give horses sips of beer. just like... Just as a snack.
Just the Budweiser Clydesdales.
Yeah, mostly. So that's exciting.
That's very exciting.
And then this is unrelated, but a friend of mine told me a story and I'm going to steal it and tell it here. He went to get a massage and it was like really intense and he had kind of a panic attack and had to leave for a sec and come back in. And he was explaining to the masseuse, like, you know, I used to be addicted to opiates. And so sometimes physical sensations are intense for me. I'm like still, you know, recovering and sometimes I panic. And she responded and said, you know, I suffered from addiction as well. And it almost destroyed my marriage and my job and all my relationships, it almost ruined my whole life. I was addicted to visiting my horse. And he was like, what? She's like, yeah, I would just go to the barn for hours and just brush my horse. And I couldn't stop. And like, I stopped going to work and like, I just couldn't function. And he was like, I was addicted to opiates. What the hell?
Oh my God.
But I also kind of related to that. So I love that story.
That's.
I hope my friend doesn't mind me stealing it.
Amazing. I mean, like, is that real? Also, are you afraid of that happening to you?
Yes.
I saw someone on Twitter. I won't say who or who they were tweeting at, but they were tweeting at the star of a TV show to say, hey, I have like extreme, like, I think it's called like emetophobia, but basically like fear of vomiting.
Yeah, I have that.
And they were like, can you tell me if there's any vomiting in season two of your show before I start watching it?
Oh my God.
Which I was like,
that's so funny.
That's such an unreasonable request.
You cannot tweet that at it. But if an emetophobe tweeted that at me, I would like.
You would answer.
Yeah, because I'm an emetophobe and there is barfing on Tuca and Birdie, surprisingly.
Wow.
I hate barfing, but I think by.
You have betrayed your people.
I have. But I think by like kind of putting it in the show in funny ways, it's helping me deal with
cope
the,
with it.
The fear.
Exposure therapy.
And it's cartoon, so it's not like super gross. But yeah. There is a part where you just have to listen to barfing sounds for way longer than you should. And it makes me laugh so hard because they're so realistic.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. When does it come out?
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
I'm very excited.
I wonder if it'll be on that podcast about new Netflix releases.
I bet it will.
Oh, God. I hope they say nice things.
I'm sure they will.
I have to very quickly grow a thicker skin and get used to people saying mean things
to me. If you want to guarantee them to say a nice thing, you should just go on as a guest that week.
I should. just talk about my own show.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, that's a good idea. Then I can control the narrative.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, I have to learn how to fucking relax. Everyone be nice to me on Twitter.
You only have 2 weeks to learn how to fucking relax. You better get to work right now.
If you say anything mean about my show on Twitter, I will die. Oh, all my man. Skin will peel off. That's how I feel.
Don't do it.
Deep in my heart. I'm going to have to quit the internet.
Yeah. Isn't that tempting?
Yeah. But I can't. I like know. It.
It's weird because it's like I hate being on Twitter so much. But then occasionally I will find out something like bones are organs.
Yeah.
And I have to go talk to everyone about it.
Can you explain that? Bones are organs?
I found out recently that bones are organs.
Is anything not an organ at this point?
No, everything's a fucking organ.
I find out there's a new organ every week. Like that lamp's an organ. That TV's an organ.
Everything in your body's basically an organ. Your hair's an organ.
Ew.
And, but I find the bones one most upsetting because they're not soft. They're actually called rigid organs.
I don't like to think of my bones is having any malleability to them at all, or like any kind of
any sort of
soft
no.
or any
I want interior. To I think of them as rocks.
Yeah, they're hard rocks that are in the body. Nothing goes in or out of them.
No, and they never change.
And they grow.
They grow, but
only a little.
The reason why it's so painful is because it's wrong for rocks to grow.
Yes, they shouldn't. It's a slow process, like the formation of the earth. Just to make you big, big.
I feel like I found this out because Peter and I were talking about something where it was something about like having all the organs removed from your body or something. And I was like, so you would just be a skeleton? And he was like, well, no, your bones are an organ. And I was like, no, they aren't. And he was like, yes, they are. And I was like, I hate you.
I looked you it up so much.
And he was right. And I hate it so much. I talked about it on Love It or Leave It too. I'm like, have not stopped talking about this. After I left our last recording being like, I forgot to talk about how bones are organs.
Even your skull, it's like, it should just be, it's like a helmet with holes in it for veins to go in and out.
I hate that.
There's no like, it shouldn't.
Everything is horrible.
I mean, your skin's an organ, right? The whole thing.
Yeah, but that I knew because
that makes sense.
That was like a childhood thing where being like, your skin's the biggest organ in your body.
Is it even? I don't know.
I think it is. I
think so.
Yeah. It's definitely. Is it the grossest? Maybe.
It's gross.
Is poop an organ?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Which is scary because I'm like on a deep level afraid of pooping out all my organs. And so time, you know.
On my driver's license, it says I'm an organ donor, but only my poop.
What are they going to do with that? They're like, great.
Give my poop to someone who wants to eat it.
Great. More poop out of a cadaver.
Or there's a thing now, like poop implants.
Yeah. You can do poop implants.
Yeah.
You seem like a healthy pooper, but someone wants that.
I'm not a healthy pooper. No. I don't know why you said that. I talk so often about how unhealthy my poop is.
That's true. I guess a healthy pooper would not like find poop an interesting.
I feel like you're confusing healthy body image with healthy poop.
The other day I was thinking about like all those, you know, books for kids on like, I'm like, oh, kids are so stupid. They need all these books that are like how to poop out of your butt into a toilet. But then I'm like, every time I need to poop, I'm afraid. So how stupid am I? Maybe I need to refresh
every
myself.
Every time you have to poop, you're afraid?
Well, yeah, just a little bit. Just like a little fear. Like, what if everything comes out? What if I poop out? What if I poop out my whole skeleton? That would suck.
That's not possible.
It could.
It's too rigid an organ.
It's not. Now that
Here's
I know.
The thing, even if you pooped out your skeleton, that would be the most satisfying shit you'd ever taken.
Yeah, it would. It would be it's the last shit you ever take. I hope that's how I die.
By pooping out your own skeleton?
Yeah. And then the skin is just left sitting on the toilet and the skin's like, oh no.
It's just like a skin suit there for some guy to come fuck it. Yeah. What happened in Silence of the Lambs? I haven't seen it.
I don't think that's how that
he
works.
He wears the person's skin as, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he has to take the skin off.
Do you guys
off.
Like me guessing what movies are? Is that a thing that's yes. good for an audience of a podcast?
I think he was intending to skin a person and then stitch a suit out of the skin. I think that was the plan.
The simultaneously most lighthearted and most upsetting episode of our podcast of all time.
This went dark real
fast.
Dark.
Speaking of which, we didn't talk about Green Book winning the Oscar.
That was
I was so mad.
So stupid. The dumbest moment. Oh my God.
Wait, okay. It was so stupid that Green Book won the Oscar.
And then all those white people went on stage and they're like, and let's bring the talent up too. To
so that there were black people on stage.
Seriously.
No one thanked Don Shirley at any point.
Who's that?
The guy who the movie was based on. No one involved in Bohemian Rhapsody thanked Freddie Mercury, I don't think.
I think, didn't Rami?
Did he?
I think he did.
I'm not sure he did.
I like Rami Malek, but man, that movie looks bad.
Very bad.
And the clip that they showed was of him lip syncing. It's just like, that's not even, you're barely acting there.
Oh God. Both of those movies had moments that I thought were so ridiculous, but.
I haven't seen either, so I probably should.
Oh man.
I should sit the fuck down until I watch them.
Watch them with another person, because otherwise you'll be confused at what's happening.
Yeah.
Of like, they really left this in the movie.
Vice was bad enough. Ugh, watching Vice. What a. Waste of 2 hours.
I haven't watched that.
Oh my God.
But I watched The Mule.
Yeah.
I realize I'm not the first person to talk about The Mule. John Mulaney talked about it on SNL a few weeks ago. But oh my God, The Mule is the craziest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It is so insane. It's about Clint Eastwood plays a 90-year-old drug mule. It's based on a true story. But the details in the movie that I think they like made up are the most insane ones. Like, he has 2 3-ways in the movie as a 90-year-old man. And
why didn't he just have 1 6-way?
Wouldn't that be a 5-way? Him and 4 women? No, well, yeah, why not add another
yeah,
one?
Why not? I'm just, you know, I'm the least sexy person ever.
It made no sense. That part is crazy. But to me,
Rob Swatz is mine.
The craziest part of The Mule to me, obviously the 2 3-ways are crazy for a 90-year-old man. And he just like...
90 years old.
And he just putters around the movie saying racist things and you're supposed to think it's cute.
Oh my God. And did he direct it too?
He directed it, of
course.
Oh
my God.
But then... The craziest thing to me is like, okay, so it's based on this guy who was a mule for the Sinaloa cartel. And the appeal of this guy as a mule is like, he's a 90-year-old white man. No cop would think he was a drug mule.
Right.
If he got pulled over.
Yeah.
But for some reason that's kind of unclear, the cartel's like, he's making more stops than we want. We need to watch him. So they start babysitting him on his drug runs. So they'll send these 2 Mexican guys to like tail him in a car, and then they like stop and eat lunch together. And it's like, now this is suspicious.
Yeah.
That you have 2 cars, one with a 90-year-old white man and one with 2 Mexican guys who are very awkward around each other.
Yeah.
Driving, caravanning with each other. Like, you just sacrificed what's valuable about this guy as a drug mule.
Right.
For one thing, he shouldn't know who anyone involved in the cartel is.
No.
But then they fly him down to Mexico to literally meet everyone in the cartel. They were like, let's have him meet everyone. It makes no fucking sense. And I don't think that was in the real story. And one thing that was in the real story that they didn't put in the movie, which I think is crazy, because this guy was like a famous horticulturalist before he became a drug mule. Was when he was being sentenced, he got caught for being a drug mule. He was being sentenced at the age of like 91 or whatever. And he asked the judge if instead of going to jail, if he could repay his debt to society, like the money that he owed the government or whatever, by becoming a papaya farmer. And part of his reasoning was like, they are so good. They are very sweet. They are delicious fruits.
Fair.
And the judge was like, no, you're going to jail. But why didn't they put that in the movie?
That's so funny.
Anyway, that concludes Chunch Chat.
One on fun?
It's time now for one on fun.
Ask me, you know what to get. One on fun. Oh, wow. Emily.
Yes.
What celebrity couple are you most surprised by?
Oh.
All time.
Most surprised by all time? Do they have to still be together?
No.
Okay, great question. Great question. Wait, I just heard about one that was...
I heard about one that recently that surprised me, and that's what triggered this question.
Tom Waits and Bette Midler.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm pretty sure they were a couple. Wait,
that's shocking.
I'm looking this up just to be sure because I read this yesterday, but I don't know if it's true. Yes, they dated.
When?
Let me look it up. It was in the 70s.
Wow.
Yeah. They have like such diametrically opposed approaches to like vocalization.
Yeah.
But they did some like collaborations, like they duetted on something.
I
haven't heard it.
He strikes me as someone who's been like married to the same woman for a long time, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, wait, let me see.
I might just be basing this like on a song of his. I don't actually know. People are currently wondering if Ralph Fiennes and Patti Smith are a couple.
Huh.
He does love older women, but I don't know. I can't tell if they're a couple, if they're just friends.
I mean, but, like, similarly, what was that one? The woman who played Marcia Clark, Sarah Paulson, and...
Oh, yeah. They were a couple, though.
Her and...
Her
and Holland Taylor. They're still together.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I'm cool. into that, and I also find it surprising. Is there a couple that you were thinking of, like, aside from Ralph Fiennes?
I didn't know Catherine Keener and Dermot Mulroney were married for 17 years.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. And I recently rewatched My Best Friend's Wedding, and so that's what led me down that path.
Oh, man.
He's hot.
Catherine Keener's so great,
too. They're, like, that's, like, a hot couple. Like,
yeah.
They're both very sexy.
Do you think that's what they talk about?
What?
Like what they talked about on dates is about how they're both hot.
Yeah, probably. I think that's probably what kept them going for 17 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be
who knows
that hot.
Lisa.
Yes.
If you had to start a new criminal career at age 90, what would it be?
At age 90, a criminal career. Forgery.
Or just start doing crimes. I guess it didn't have to be a career.
I would forge.
You'd forge things?
Yeah.
What would you forge? Paintings?
I think it'd be, paintings. That's a good idea. I was thinking like money or like signatures or something. Just something that it takes like really careful kind of craft work, basically. But that would be fun. It'd be so fun to get away with it. What a rush. Go see Emily's sister's movie.
Yeah, you should go see Can You Ever Forgive Me? It's about forgery.
Yeah, that really appealed to me.
Yeah.
I think that's all I'd really be up for at 90.
I guess like what I mean by saying it doesn't have to be a career is like you could also just start like stealing stuff or.
Yeah, I mean, I think shoplifting.
Or just doing a lot of drugs.
Shoplifting is more likely.
Yeah.
who would suspect me? A sweet old lady.
Yeah. Although by that point, you're going to have a lot of face tattoos, probably.
Yeah, definitely. I'll start getting those around 70. By 90, I'll be covered.
That concludes One on Fun. We'll be right back with Wiki of the Week.
Have you ever watched a movie so bad you just needed to talk to somebody about it?
Well, here at the Flophouse, we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. We'll watch it and we'll talk it. We do the hard work.
Featuring the beautiful vocal talents of Dan McCoy.
Stuart Wellington.
And me, America's Rascal, Elliot Kalin.
New episodes every other Saturday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, dude. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to Wiki of the Week. Who sent us this week's Wikipedia page, Lisa?
This one was sent to us by Jacqueline Jeffrey Walensky. Thank you, Jacqueline.
It's the Wikipedia page for Miss Baker.
What do you think Miss Baker is, listeners? Picture her in your head and try to think of what she looks like.
Yes, you have 5 more seconds to think about it.
She was born in 1957. She died November 29th, 1984. She was a squirrel monkey, who in 1959 became, along with rhesus macaque Miss Abel, one of the first two animals launched into space by the U.S. and safely returned.
Previous animal flights. Previous United States efforts at launching monkeys to space had met with the animal's demise from suffocation or parachute failure.
Aww.
Oh, God. And Soviet Union efforts had fared little better, to the chagrin of animal rights activists. The Soviet Union had recovered two dogs, the first mammals to be recovered from suborbital spaceflight from an altitude of 101 kilometers, 331,000 feet, on July 22, 1951, and subsequently recovered more dogs. The United States had flown monkeys and mice by Aerobee rocket to heights below the edge of space beginning in 1951.
Pre-flight. The squirrel monkey, who was to become known as Miss Baker, was purchased along with 25 other squirrel monkeys at a pet shop in Miami, Florida. That's a lot of monkeys to have at one shop. And brought to the Naval Aviation Medical School in Pensacola. 14 of the candidates tolerated confinement for periods up to 24 hours, electrodes all over their bodies, and monitoring at all hours. Miss Baker stood out from the rest because of her intelligence and loving, docile manner, relayed Colin Burgess and Chris Dubbs in their 2007 book, Animals in Space, From Research Rockets to the Space Shuttle. For this, and her apparent pleasure at being handled with tender, loving care, she earned the nickname TLC.
Oh, hell yeah. Crazy, sexy, cool, this monkey is. I have apparent pleasure at being handled with tender, loving care.
Me too. I think I show it.
Do you and Adam have pet names for each other? You don't have to say what they are, just yes or no.
I'm trying to think, what do we call each other? A bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
we don't have a like specific.
We don't have any. Me and Peter don't call each other honey even.
We just say, we say baby, and I say sweetie sometimes, and sometimes we call each other bitch and cunt. But that's just fun.
With experiments imminent, the Army named their monkey Alpha, and the Navy followed with Bravo, names taken directly from the phonetic alphabet. Before flight, though, the names changed the first letters of the antiquated joint Army-Navy phonetic alphabet.
The flight. Miss Baker wore a helmet lined with rubber and chamois leather, plus a jacket for launch. That's so cute.
Yeah.
In addition to a respiration meter affixed to her nose with model cement. Oh, and she was fitted into a snug capsule of shoebox size, 9 3/4 by 12 and a half by 6 3/4 inches, in case you at home want to recreate your own monkey box.
This would be a pretty good Halloween costume.
It really would. Insulated with rubber and fiberglass. Life support was an oxygen bottle with a pressure valve and lithium hydroxide to absorb exhaled carbon dioxide and moisture.
On May 28th, 1959, at 2:39 a.m., she must have been so scared and so confused about what was happening.
I know. Why did they have to do it
of
2 in the morning?
Of all the things an animal would think was maybe about to happen to them, going into space is just, like, so not in the realm of possibilities.
It's just in this little tiny tube, but so sad.
On May 28th, 1959, at 2:39 a.m., a Jupiter rocket lifted Miss Baker and Miss Abel to an altitude of 300 miles through an acceleration of 38 Gs for a 16-minute flight, which also included 9 minutes of weightlessness. The flight traveled 1,500 miles downrange from the pad at Cape Canaveral Launch Complex 26B to the Atlantic Ocean near Puerto Rico, where the capsule was recovered by USS Kiowa.
The following table shows some characteristics of the monkeys on the Jupiter AM-18 and the measurements taken during flight. Some of Abel's measurements had data problems, as indicated.
We probably shouldn't read this because it's a lot of like very medical things.
Yeah, but it should be known that the squirrel monkey is 1 pound and the rhesus monkey, Abel, was 7 pounds. So it's quite a difference. And the squirrel monkey needed 8 days for flight prep time and the rhesus monkey 3 days. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking pretty good there. I'm looking over her stats. Seems great. Yeah. Abel and Baker were not alone on the flight. They were accompanied by Neurospora, samples of human blood, E. coli, onions, onions, mustard, and corn seeds, Drosophila pupae, yeast, and sea urchin eggs and sperm. Just like kind of whatever.
Just like a bunch of sperm.
Whatever they had lying around in the NASA refrigerator ended up on the ship, I guess. Mustard.
This is all like the... the makings of a very gross sandwich.
This is, yeah, horrible.
Human blood, onions, mustard, corn seeds, yeast, sea urchin, eggs, and sperm.
Which one of these would make you the most sick? Probably the E. coli. But, you know, the human blood. I also don't do too well with onions, so, you know, that's going to be a problem.
Abel died 4 days after the flight from a highly unusual cardiac fibrillation in reaction to anesthesia to remove electrodes.
Aww.
This is the type of anesthetic death every surgeon fears, said Colonel Robert Hollinghorst, deputy at Fort Knox, where the surgery took place. I feel like not every surgeon fears a space monkey dying on their table. That seems like a little unreasonable of a generalization.
You know, like not the specifics,
yeah,
but the general reaction to anesthesia, whether it be a space monkey or, you know, a person.
He said, we don't know exactly why it occurs. An autopsy found no problems that may have contributed to her death. Abel is stuffed and on display at the National Air and Space Museum.
Post-flight. Owing to their successful return from space to the USS Kiowa and their crew, Abel and Baker appeared on the cover of Life magazine, June 15, 1959. In 1962, Pensacola caretakers held a marriage ceremony to wed Miss Baker to Big George.
Who's Big George?
Big George? Excuse me? What?
You need to tell me who Big George is.
What kind of... I assume he was a monkey.
I assume he's another squirrel monkey.
Yes, he was a Peruvian squirrel monkey named Big George. Miss Baker, being a very modern female, she retained her maiden name. And Big George later moved to Huntsville to live in environmentally controlled quarters at the Space and Rocket Center. The couple is monkeyless. They have no offspring.
Where are you reading this?
I just followed a link.
Oh, okay.
Abel has gone to the Great Banana Land where all good monkeys go. So that's a way to say Abel died.
Yeah, we know this already. Okay, wait.
So wow.
Miss Baker lived at the Naval Aerospace Medical Center in Pensacola, Florida until 1971. In 1971, Miss Baker moved to the U.S. Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama, where she entertained museum visitors and drew 100 to 150 letters a day from school children. The 1977 birthday celebrations brought balloons, camera flashes, and the regular fare of cottage cheese for Miss Baker and Big George.
Man, is there any animal who doesn't love cottage cheese? And bananas.
This is not a thing I knew about animals.
These are two staples. I haven't tried feeding either of those to the horse yet. Oh, we'll see. She'd probably like them. Big George predeceased Miss Baker on January 8th, 1979. And 3 months later, Norman from the Yerkes National Primate Research Center became her second mate in a ceremony presided over by Alabama District Court Judge Dan McCoy. Miss Baker refused to wear her white wedding train for the event, tearing it off after a few seconds.
She was like, who are we fooling here? I've been married before. Why am I wearing white?
I'm no virgin.
Oh, man. It's never give up on love is, I think, the message here. In 1982, Center Director Ed Buckby said, Baker delights visitors every day with her energy and antics with her husband, Norman. Her birthday was celebrated within a few weeks of the actual day on the anniversary of her flight, May 28th, each year.
In celebration of the 25th anniversary of her space flight, Baker was treated to a rubber duck and her favorite, strawberry gelatin with bananas, along with well wishes from thousands of people. In 1984, Miss Baker died of kidney failure in a clinic in Auburn University after attaining the record for oldest living squirrel monkey.
Dang. Whoa.
She's buried...
Overachiever much?
I know. Jesus. She's buried on the grounds at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center. Her tombstone routinely has one or more bananas on top.
Oh, I love this. Aww. Wait, so I'm sorry to have cut you off when you were reading from the other Wikipedia page.
No, this
it was
is...
a link?
No, it's just a link to an ebook.
Oh, damn.
And the ebook is called Alabama, One Big Front Porch by Catherine Tucker Windham. So it's just about things in Alabama, I guess.
Wow.
But yeah, it describes Miss Baker as retaining her youthful vitality and attractiveness well into old age. Her birthday being celebrated every June. Her birthday cake was a concoction of strawberry jello decorated with monkey cookies, orange slices, and pieces of banana without candles.
Why are we celebrating this monkey for not aging? Like, I mean, I get that she lived a long time, but like maintaining her good looks. Can we maybe spare a pioneering space monkey from the rigors of, you know, unreasonable body standard? Like, why are we using this monkey to shame other monkeys into feeling bad about aging?
I don't know. It's like, I feel like they're just trying to make it relatable to anyone who might be reading the book, but it's like you're projecting like human kind of ideals onto animals. Animals don't care of such things.
It's like for conservative people to feel more comfortable with this female having a career.
Yes, perhaps.
They need to also know that she maintained her figure.
That said, I do think some animals care about remaining attractive. I have to tell Indy she's still beautiful every day.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that animals definitely care about remaining attractive.
I think so. I mean, it definitely makes me love them more when they're cute. I hate to say.
I was just thinking about my grandma used to have peacocks that like, you know, they had like generations and generations of them that lived there. And like as they would get older, or like maybe it wasn't when they got older, but like at a certain point they would like shed their feathers for the year and then they would grow them back. But like when they only had like a couple, you could tell they were a little self-conscious.
Yeah,
about it.
Totally.
Because they looked hella stupid.
Yeah.
I want to just
read. Does my haircut look weird?
Is it okay? It's shorter than I wanted it to be.
I told them only an inch.
There's like a, you know, on Wikipedia, there's like a little square with her stats.
Yes.
And it says, born 1957, Iquitos, Peru. Died November 29th, 1984, age 27, Auburn University Clinic. And then in bold, it says, space career, space pioneer. Time in space, 16 minutes. Missions, Jupiter AM18. But I like that she's considered a space pioneer.
Wow, only 16 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not very long.
No, but I bet it felt really long to them.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to spend 16 seconds in space.
No, me neither.
Sounds awful.
Thank you for sending us this Wikipedia page. That concludes Wiki of the Week. It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
I learned I'm probably going to be watching more Instant Hotel this week because I gotta see how this wraps up. And I'll probably stick with Outlander. I'll see what happens.
Let me know if you do.
Yeah. I gotta assign you something to watch.
Yeah, please. I've been watching so many things.
Yeah, it's the best.
I love television.
I love it. I'm glad I work in this industry.
Me too.
I want to make more of it.
I just got a much bigger TV.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited to set it up. Anyway, today I learned that it's possible for a monkey's favorite food to be strawberry gelatin and not bananas.
But bananas are still pretty high
up there. Bananas are still high up there.
Yeah, are people leaving strawberry jello on the grave or just bananas?
Yeah, I mean, they should leave the jello. I think it'll last longer.
Who knows?
What happens to jello when it gets old?
That's kind of just gets digested by ants, right? They just ants just bring it back to
just
the queen.
Come and eat it, yeah.
It becomes new ants. Jello will always find its way to ants.
That's our show. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks to Rob Pera for producing and engineering the shit.
Thanks to Nate Heller for producing our theme songs. My comedy special will be out later this week. I think I'm not supposed to say the exact date anymore. I don't know. It's very confusing. But look for it.
Yes.
Follow me online. I'm at Mr. Emily Heller.
I'm at Lisa Draws.
And goodbye.
Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything.
Welcome back, and thank you, Dan, for that scathing report. As you know, Max Fun Drive is coming up March 18th to March 29th, which has some folks pretty excited. But as families around the world get ready to celebrate this season of giving, community, and quality podcasts, some are wondering if it's just too much.
Are they, though?
They are. Some people are all for comedy and culture, but with 45 shows offering hundreds of hours of bonus content, plus all the Max Fun meetups taking place around the world, some people think it's too much.
While other people think it sounds totally awesome.
I took my granddaughter to the mall to get her picture taken, and the mall pod fairy was short. And I, you know, I'm just gonna say it, I'm sorry, but everyone knows the pod fairy is tall.
Well, I think we should just leave it there. Until next time, here's the news you need to know. Max Fun Drive runs from March 18th through 29th. Be sure to listen to all of your favorite podcasts. I know I will.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.